This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Hey, everyone. It's Chris. If you are liking the show and you haven't yet left us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app, I would really appreciate it if you could take a sec to do it. Maybe leave one like right now while you're thinking of it. It really helps new listeners find the show. Thanks so much, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode. Like the dumb things I used to do, and just I don't even think I like thought twice about it. You know, it's just like, well, yeah, well, it's just like come back and do these dirty, disgusting, greasy dishes and pans tomorrow.
Yeah.
No problem.
I did. Yeah, I definitely did mine like 2 days later, but they got done that weekend. So.
Yeah, there you go. Hey there, listeners, future callers and cooking enthusiasts. This is Dinner SOS, the show where we help you save dinner or whatever you're cooking. I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious. Our caller this week, Ira, is no stranger to podcasts. In fact, he hosts one of his own.
Brangelina, Kimye, and now Spongeriana Granba.
Slay.
Where have all the good celebrity relationships gone?
Every week on Crooked Media's Keep It, Ira drops hot takes and deep pop culture knowledge. But luckily for me, he didn't come on Dinner SOS to get my opinions on celebrities' dating lives, because I don't have any. See, Ira just moved back to New York City from LA. On the West Coast, Ira had plenty of space to entertain.
You know, I had a nice outside patio with sort of like a table where, you know, friends could come over. And I love, one of my favorite things actually is, because I like cookbooks, is to just pick a random recipe from one of the books that I have like once a month and maybe invite, you know, like 8 friends over.
Yeah.
And cook nice for them. But now I live in a 1-bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I guess I'm figuring out how to still have a lovely dinner party for friends of mine in this cramped space.
Cool. And tell me more about like your kind of like this cookbook sort of situation and you choosing some different recipes from different books. Like, can you point to like some specific ones that you really enjoyed cooking from?
Yeah. So one that my friends really liked was I did the chicken ruby recipe from the Dishoom cookbook, mm-hmm. One of my favorite places in London. I've used a couple of Alison Roman's.
Okay.
Yeah. So like I can substantially cook in the kitchen.
Okay. Substantial cooking is happening. Love that. And like, how many people are you looking to have over?
I feel like 6.
About 6. Okay. And is there another book that you have your eye on in terms of something that you feel inspired to cook? Or is that like kind of more like what this conversation's about in terms of like how to get inspired and fired up to have people over in a space that you know you just simply wish were bigger?
I think that's sort of it, because I feel like I just sort of like aimlessly will look through a cookbook too and then just pick one.
Fun. All right. Well, I guess like, what do you like eating? Like in your day-to-day life, like when you're cooking for yourself, like what kind of flavors are you using and what kind of dishes are you making?
Well, so the thing is like, I feel like I used to cook more when I had the bigger kitchen, and now I tend to sort of just cook if I'm cooking for an event. Because mm-hmm. of the smaller kitchen, for the most part, I just sort of get takeout all the time, or I have like a meal delivery service. But when I'm cooking, I mean, my number one recipe, which is usually an event recipe, is macaroni and cheese. That's like a family recipe. It's always around the holidays. But otherwise, I like chicken dishes. I love like a pasta dish in general. I really love like a shakshuka kind mm-hmm. of dish too.
And okay, and let me ask you a question. This is like straight up. I'm not invested in the outcome either way. But okay. Like, what would be more fun to you? Should I get like a really fun cookbook author to like be my co-host and sort of do a deep dive into like their cookbook and POV and kind of get you to cook one of their dishes?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to focus just more on like, you know, the kind of like the hows of entertaining in a small space and how to choose a dish that makes sense, you know, when you don't have prep space and, you know, your kitchen and your living area is like sort of kind of one and the same? What's more exciting to you?
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, not to Marie Antoinette, cake and eat it too. But
that's okay.
I feel like I would love actually, you know, to like talk with someone like a chef from one of their cookbooks and like a dish they really love and go through that. But maybe they would specifically know within their, you know, canon of recipes, which ones are ideal for you live in a small one-bedroom yeah. apartment in New York and you want to entertain your friends but still sort of impress them.
Yeah, totally. I mean, listen, that's okay. Like, everything worked out great for Marie Antoinette until the very end, right? I mean, like, she had a good run.
She did.
So I kind of like that lens of like, you know, part of the storytelling around the dish is like the cookbook itself and like what, you know, kind of sparked your interest in it, whether it's eating at somebody's restaurant or, you know, just being aware of them as like a food world personality and wanting to kind of understand their food from the inside out. I can definitely get behind that.
Yeah. And, you know, my friends keep pressuring me to have like a housewarming party, but I don't have like the space for like the way I used to have one. And so I sort of feel like, you know, these smaller dinner parties with different groups of friends is sort of like several housewarming parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Do you yourself, Maya Kaimal, do you ever lean on store-bought products to kind of supplement a homemade meal? Like either your own yeah, or somebody else's.
For sure.
Do you? Oh, so you cheat as well. I'm not alone.
Oh, yeah. No. We have to.
Maya Kaimal is one of my favorite food people. You may know her name from her eponymous line of simmer sauces and prepackaged Indian meals. Plus, Maya has an incredible new cookbook called Indian Flavor Every Day. And since Ira loves to page through cookbooks for inspiration, I thought her book could provide a great framework for a small space dinner party that could impress his guests and pack in a ton of flavor. You came to me, you know, as if in like a sort of like, you know, fever dream of having been there myself, like, because I feel like I lost the knack for entertaining, frankly, like in the pandemic. Like recently we've been having folks over and it's like, oh yeah, we only own 5 plates, you know? They're really nice plates, but there's literally 5 of them. And you invite over another family and that's like 5 people right there. And now you're eating out of a bowl, you know?
Right.
and it's okay. There are bigger problems in the world. But I was also just thinking about your most recent cookbook and, you know, how do you create these, you know, kind of bases of flavor? How do you create flavor from the ground up in a way that's still relatively accessible, particularly for somebody who's not just looking to create one thing, but when, you know, when you're hosting, when you're entertaining, chances are you're trying to bring a few dishes, you know, to the table. I would really love him to just get his hands on a copy of your book and, you know, have you kind of like walk him through like maybe a couple of different scenarios for what he could pull off for company and kind of just be the spark to kind of get him back in the kitchen.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's a great challenge. And sounds like he's got a really good attitude about what he's up against. I mean, and I can relate. I lived in Chelsea in a small one-bedroom apartment and tested my whole second cookbook out of that teeny tiny kitchen that, you know, you didn't actually take a step anywhere.
Yeah.
You just pivot from sink to stove to fridge. So yeah, I figured out some workarounds to cook Indian food in a limited space. So I know it can be done. And yeah, so I'd love to try to help him out.
We're going to take a short break. When we get back, Maya and I walk Ira through some sample menus he can use to host a dinner party worthy of his new apartment.
Hey,
Here at Dinner SOS, we love tackling your kitchen issues. But what if I told you there's a way to rescue dinner before it turns into an emergency? With expert insights from the test kitchen, cooking and entertaining tips, and a treasury of over 50,000 recipes, Bon Appetit and Epicurious are your lifelines to rescue any meal. And right now, our listeners can get 20% off an annual digital subscription, including access to the user-friendly Epicurious app. Just use code SOS20 at bonappetit.com. That's SOS20 for a 20% discount on an annual digital subscription to Bon Appetit and Epicurious. Happy cooking. And don't worry, I'll still be here if your dinner plan self-destructs. Welcome back to Dinner SOS. When Maya and I got Ira back on the line, his plans had changed.
Okay, so caveat now.
Because what's happened?
Well, the small dinner was, you know, when we were scheduling it, you know, and everything. Now it's happened to land on my birthday, which is next Friday. And so it is larger than I anticipated.
How many people are we talking?
Probably like 15.
Ooh. And on your own birthday, no
yes,
less.
Yes, yes.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah. In your small apartment.
Do you know, it is, they can all fit.
Okay.
I've had like That's sort great. Of like a light like gathering of the place before where more people were there. But, you know, it was whittling it down for like a birthday dinner as opposed to, you know, just a dinner where I'm inviting some friends over. Right. Became very, you know, trying to cut that guest list is serious.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the age of, you know, find my friends on your phone where, you know, like someone opening their phone and like, well, why is everyone at Ira's apartment? And
yeah.
I'm not, so.
Totally. So Maya, the guest list has increased, but otherwise the other parameters remain the same.
Okay. All right then. Okay. One clarifying question. Are people going to be standing up or sitting down when they eat?
There'll be a variety of probably.
Or mix.
Yeah. I mean, there's chairs for people to sit. There's
about.
A couch. And then I'm sure some people just like pop on the floor or like in the
So it's kind of like a
windowsill or
buffet
something.
Sort of situation probably. People are going to have to help themselves maybe.
Yes.
And then just find a place to perch.
Mm-hmm.
Even with these evolving party parameters, Maya was ready with several brilliant dinner party suggestions.
One idea I had, I think it could work in this setting. It's sort of like an Indian taco board, actually.
Okay, I'm already standing.
It's based around the idea of kind of, you know, creating your own wrap meal that would be using Indian breads, right? So, you know, you can get access to some of those amazing breads that they have in the freezer set of Indian stores, like the, you know, parathas, rotis, chapatis. I mean, they're fantastic. And
where are we talking? You thinking like Kalustians?
Kalustians would have them, yeah. But you could also use like a, you know, a flour tortilla or a lavash or some Middle Eastern bread too.
If you're not familiar with Kalustians and you live in or even just near New York, you're missing out. It's an incredible Indian grocery store where Ira can get basically everything he'll need to cook from Maya's book. And if you're not near New York, pro tip, they do ship some pantry staples nationwide. Anyway, back to Maya.
Okay, so the idea would be that you make one of the recipes from my book, which is this chicken tikka skewers. So they're marinated, boneless chicken. They're in like a yogurt, garlic, ginger, coriander, like a spiced marinade. And then you don't have to skewer them necessarily in this case, but you can just throw them under the broiler. You can baste them with a little ghee if you want to make them even more flavorful. And that can be done a bit ahead of time. So that's going to be your protein. And are we catering to vegetarians here? Or?
I don't cater to vegetarians personally, but there may be a couple vegetarians. Mostly I know two friends are like lactose intolerant.
Lactose. Okay, so you can make the marinade with a non-dairy yogurt too. It's totally fine. But I was going to say you could do mushrooms as well in the same marinade.
Mm. Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And it kind of takes the marinade similar to how, like, the chicken would, right?
It would. It'll really absorb those flavors and be super yummy. So, cool. So that can be the main. And then you can do, like, you know, Indian salads, like a cucumber salad. I have a recipe for that. That's like the cucumber, tomato, onion, cilantro.
Okay, love that.
But, like, finely diced, so it can go into your wrap really nicely.
And that's the one that you're seasoning it mainly with chaat masala, right?
Chaat masala, exactly. Mm. Yes.
That was one of the ones that I flagged because it's like, you know, 8 ingredients, including like salt and sugar, you know, and the chaat is a really amazing spice blend. It's like a great thing just to have and put into your repertoire.
Okay.
But it has amchur in it, like this green dried mango that's pulverized. So it's like very bright. It has this kind of like sour brightness to it. It's like, I think it's interesting. You're almost using that as the salad dressing here.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. It brings this flavor. It also has like black salt in it, which has a kind of a little a funk to it. It's like this sort of, yeah, sulfury salt. But it adds this complexity to an otherwise pretty, you know, simple combination of ingredients that is pretty exciting.
Well, we love flavor.
I love chaat masala.
Love flavor.
Yeah. Then you could do like a raita, right? Like a nice cucumber and yogurt salad. Again, you don't have to use dairy yogurt. Maybe you do like a beet salad or something too, if you want. Like, so I'm just picturing lots of like crunchy, fresh things and some juicy raita to kind of bind it all together. So, you know, people can just assemble their own. So, you know, that's one approach. Another way to go could be doing something elegant and casserole-y and made ahead, like a chicken biryani. Have you had biryani before?
I have not. I just, the was natural.
Yeah. But, okay. Just came right out.
Just came out.
Yeah. No, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Just like, man, well, all the times you've like sat back, you know, knocked back a plate of biryani.
You know, like, what is a biryani?
It's a baked rice dish, but it's layered in with chicken that's been marinated and has kind of a nice juicy sauciness to it. And I'm thinking of one that's actually from the Dishoom cookbook that's really lovely. That's
which I have.
Oh.
Great cookbook.
Epic. Yeah, you mentioned that, right?
Yes. I've cooked the chicken ruby from that before. So for some of these friends before, and they loved it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, they've got one called Chicken Berry Britannia, which is, so the berries being cranberries in there, because usually there's some kind of fruit in the biryani too. And then it's topped with fried onions and then lots of cilantro. So it's very pretty, and it's the kind of thing that can be done ahead. You know, you're just keeping it warm, and so you can be chill before you're, you know, this menu is like a very chill menu, what I'm going to describe, so that it can, like, really the work is done and you can mingle and, you know, be with your guests as they're their cocktails and all that. So I'm thinking that that could be a nice sort of, you know, showstoppery, you know, it's because it's really elegant and pretty and flavorful. And the typical things to have that are actually some of the dishes I described before, that cucumber salad, like you usually have like a crunchy chopped vegetable salad with it. And you usually have raita with it as well, that, you know, yogurt side, so that those add kind of juicy freshness to this rice-based dish. And then you could have like a lemon pickle or garlic pickle on the side and some papadum. Again, those are like, you know, papadum you make ahead. You just bake it or fry it and have it. All of this stuff can be done ahead. And the pickle, you just have it as kind of a fun, like, zingy little condiment that, like, brightens up the whole plate. You know, you just have it out there. People put a little dollop on and sort of mix it in with their biryani.
Papadums are these chickpea flour, sort of like very thin sheets of dough you can get like at Kalustian's, and then you just kind of heat them up and they sort of puff up dramatically, and they just like, they look kind of epic, but there's this wonderful crunchy cracker-like texture with that
crispy,
nutty,
well, I love that.
Nutty flavor.
Yeah,
it's great.
They're fun to eat and you can kind of crunch them up. So papadums sort of, it's a fun thing. It's not necessary, but it's another texture and flavor to add to the plate. So that's what's sort of nice about biryani. It's not like it's not heavy. It's not intense. It's just flavorful.
Not heavy is great.
I am hosting a party afterwards. So there's a lot going on that day.
You're
so hosting
busy man.
Well, the dinner is for my close friends. And then I am actually hosting a party called Flavor, aptly, in Manhattan. It's sort of like a R&B 2000s like dance party that I'm the host for, slash as my birthday party. So, you know. Oh my
gosh. So you're going to leave your house, your apartment,
mm-hmm.
after having hosted folks,
yes,
and go host another party.
They're all coming.
That's like
That's like a pre-dinner.
That's like three nights in one for me. That's actually maybe like 1,000 nights in
exhausted.
One.
That's the pre-dinner for the close friends, you know, and then the public birthday party.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Wow.
I am a Leo. So, as you know, if you know, it's a lot going on.
That's amazing. That's like the most ambitious thing I've ever heard. This is great.
Well, you know, SOS, right?
Yeah, no, seriously.
Wow. Yeah, I hear you. Okay. Well, all right. Here's number three. You keep dropping these details that make me.
Yeah, this is like,
wow. I might have rethought this if I knew all this beforehand. But okay, here we go. Do people eat pork in your group, do you think?
Some.
Okay. Well, it doesn't have to be pork. Do you think they eat lamb?
Yeah, lamb could
maybe
be a vibe. Yeah.
Because I was thinking about vindaloo. Have you ever had vindaloo before? It's like a famously zesty, tangy, like wonderfully intense Indian curry.
No, but maybe I have. But I love zest and tang. And I love curry. So
is this like the classic pork vindaloo that you have in your book?
Yes, it is.
That one looks insane. Let me just, sorry, I have this pulled up.
Oh,
it's like braisy.
Yeah, work.
That was one of the ones that I flagged because I was just like, F, that looks delicious.
Yeah.
Well, pork vindaloo can also be made with lamb. And it's one of those dishes that it takes some time to make this really nice, deeply flavored sauce. And then you want it to cook with the meat for a long time, like maybe an hour at least. So that's the thing that you've done ahead. It's just like simmering off on your stove as you're kind of doing the rest of what you need to do. But it just makes this tender, tender meat that's just absorbed these flavors in an incredible way. Mm-hmm. And it's a knockout. Like people love it. So I think that one could be kind of like, if you're going for like a bit of a, I don't know, dramatic flair in
always,
the menu, then
always.
This would be one. And you could also do it with chicken. It's not out of the question. Mm-hmm. But somehow the intensity of the flavors, I think, plays better with
pork.
With other meats that, have more character. So the vindaloo would be nice with either a potato dish or you could do rice for that. You could do a rice with a little bit of flavor, like turmeric scented rice that has a little bit of cinnamon, clove, star anise that steams in there with it. Dishoom has that gunpowder potato recipe. I don't know if you've had that. It's one of their kind of signature dishes in the restaurant. It's great. I love it. I did kind of a simplified version of that in my book.
Oh, okay. Well, thank God.
That
so.
Will not tax you as much. So that one takes some of the same ingredients, but it just eliminates some steps and a few of the harder to find ingredients. But you crush up these, coriander, fennel seeds together, and then lots of herbs and scallions go into these like nice hot potatoes that you've roasted.
What makes it gunpowder? Where does the gunpowder come in?
Gunpowder in India, it's like a super spicy, intense powder that you mix in with a little oil. And it doesn't sound good. Like it creates a kind of a gritty little mixture on your plate. But it's kind of like they use a pickle, like you just sort of swipe a little of it into your bite of what you're eating and you get in like extra hit of flavor. So that's how I know of gunpowder in Indian cuisine. And so I think their version is sort of riffing off that idea of this like kind of like burst of flavor. But then they're not using that exact blend in their potatoes. They're just using the idea of the intense hit of flavor. So, or you could just have mashed potatoes, I suppose. I think it's an opportunity to have a little more fun. But like I said, rice could be fine too, but some kind of really nice starch that is a, counterpoint to your intense vindaloo. Mm-hmm. And then something like, I'm just picturing something really like crunchy, bright contrast to this dish, which could be like a smashed cucumber salad. I mean, I also have a really nice grated turnip salad, which has like a little simple tarka. This is tarka being like this kind of oil where you've bloomed some spices in, or you drop some spices in this hot oil, and then you let them sizzle together and you drizzle them over whatever it is you're eating. You could also do like a citrus-based salad or something that's got some bright flavors in it, like a, you know, citrus fennel kind of combination could be nice with this as well. But nice, crunchy salad. That's what I'm getting at with our pork vindaloo.
Yeah.
Love. These are great options.
Yeah.
I'd flag the pork vindaloo. I mean, heck, I'd flag the chili cheese toast. Like, well, chilies.
Chili cheese toast. I was going to suggest that could be an appetizer.
I mean, I know we've got the lactose situation, but like, it's chili cheese toast.
Well, you know, if you're lactose, just don't eat, you know, an appetizer, you know.
But I also like this photo of the roasted tomato tarka. Again, like, you know, talking about that foundational technique,
right.
You know, where you're blooming like on yogurt.
Yeah.
It's like so beautiful. I mean, it's something that like, you know, incorporating some kind of element that has that sort of like showstoppery look. And yet again, it's like, it's a handful of ingredients.
Plus you love a dip.
Yeah. And it's like, and it's a dip. I think regardless of what you choose, going to Kalustian's, getting some of their frozen flatbreads that you can just toast and reheat yourself, getting like some papadoms there. Yeah. It's like, it's there for the taking.
Uh-huh.
You will be so set up.
Valhalla.
Yes, indeed.
Now question. These are all together, yes? Or are these, you know, like you pick one?
My thinking would be that like you maybe kind of pick one anchoring dish, like either the biryani, either the vindaloo, or what was the first one?
Oh, the tikka skewers.
The tikka, yeah. And then you build off of that and like kind of round it out. But what we're going to do is give you all these options. And you can kind of put it together in the way that kind of makes sense for you.
Yeah, because there's so many ways you can go. But just because there are a million options, I like to start with my main anchor dish and then think about how to kind of support it with other flavors and colors and side dishes that will complement it. So, you know, when we Indians eat, they like a lot of flavor on the plate, right? There's a lot going on. And that's what makes it fun, is the interplay between all of the different flavors and dishes and textures. So so that's how I approach it.
But of course, we want the flavor.
Yeah, we're going to give you flavor for sure.
Cool. Any other questions, thoughts, concerns, fears?
Many.
Yeah.
But no questions.
You're handling it really well, though.
You know, que sera, as they say.
I think it's going to be great because you clearly have like a pretty robust spirit of adventure.
Yeah.
But you also have good taste in food. So it's going to be great. Any final thoughts, Maya?
Yes, one. Stemless wine glasses.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I own.
Brilliant, Maya, because at the end of the day, we're all just trying to avoid broken glasses in our small apartments. After the break, we'll find out just how much Ira's party expanded and how it all went.
Hello, parents, homeschoolers, and teachers. Trusty narrator here from the Who Smarted podcast. Our 15-minute episodes are perfect for car rides, bedtime, break time, class time, or any time. We make learning science and history fun and funny for 7 to 11-year-olds with new episodes every week. Look for Who Smarted on any podcast platform or at whosmarted.com. And teachers get a free subscription to our ad-free version by clicking educators at whosmarted.com.
Ira, welcome back.
Hi.
Hi, Maya.
Hey, Chris.
I'm remembering the conversation we had last, and I feel like we gave you so many options. Like, I feel like maybe, like, were we out of our heads?
I know. I'm so worried.
I know. I'm like, I've been stressing out.
Me too.
No. So I did some paring down.
Okay. Yeah.
I also was, you know, with inviting people over, it ended up being around like 18 people.
Wow.
So I went with the
Indian taco board idea.
Ooh.
So there was this fabulous woman at the nail salon that morning who was visiting town, an Indian woman, actually, with her girlfriend. And they were having a birthday dinner later that night for like 40 people. And I was at a restaurant, though. I was like, girl, good luck. But we were talking about that. I was talking about this. And I was mentioned like, oh, you know, like there's a biryani and there's like the chicken tikka. And I was like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm going up to the store to get this to get. And she was like, baby, make that chicken.
Okay. Well, she's your angel. She steered you in the right direction.
So I went to Kalustian's. And awesome. I bought some roti and I bought some chapati.
Ooh, perfect.
And so how did even just the shopping go? What was it like being in Kalustian's? Was that your first time?
It was my first time and I kind of loved it.
Michelle, did you say you have some audio of Ira shopping?
Okay, I am wandering around this grocery store and I do not know where anything is, but they're being very helpful here. There's so many flavors in the store, so many different versions of things. There's like ground cumin, there's regular cumin, there's, you know, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of flavor of it here. So I'm going to ask for some help.
Wise man.
I was seen wandering the aisles and someone came over to help me who worked at the store. So the only thing I found on my own immediately was the bread because, you know, went straight to the frozen aisle.
Freezer
so,
set. Yeah.
Yeah, that was very easy. It's a very, like, lovely store, you know, and, like, it's right by my gym up there. So I feel like I will pop back in at another point.
I'm glad
to
hear.
Yeah, that place is a treasure.
Now, Indian taco board, break that down. What did you make?
I made the chicken tikka skewers, and then I made the chopped kachumbar salad as, you know, the vegetables to go within.
Perfect.
And people loved it.
Wow.
They did not eat much, obviously, because we were going out, but everyone had one or two tacos. I felt like it was a good buffet-style meal. Everyone enjoyed it. I mean, I haven't done that many cooking things for friends here in New York yet. So it's always a surprise when people were coming over and finding out that I was cooking myself. and I was cooking still as everyone was arriving.
Oh, gosh. So,
I mean, I really do want to make that casserole as well. I just felt like, you know, casserole eating before we went out was going to be probably a bit too heavy.
Right.
Yeah.
I had almost forgotten that you were basically going out after. Like, yes. Did you just leave the dirty dishes in the sink and just kind of walk out? Like,
left
how did
those
that
there,
work?
But I didn't get paper plates. I got the, like, chinette, you know, sort of like plastic ones. So judged it up a bit. But, you know, it was very much whatever I could serve that I could then throw away after was ideal. Instead of having to do that many dishes for people.
How was the rest of the night?
The night was good, you know? I mean, like, listen, it was the hottest night of the summer. So I had all these people in my apartment cooking the oven on.
Oh,
because, of course, I didn't pre-make anything.
Oh.
My air conditioner was working overtime. So,
yeah.
But it was fun, you know, and it was nice serving everyone and made a lot of gin and tonics for people, you know, because I always have those.
Nice. And let me commend you for going the distance and staying committed to the exercise despite the weather. It sounds like you know, scaled your ambitions, you know, appropriate to the kind of event that you're trying to do. And I'm curious, like, does this give you hope in terms of entertaining in your apartment and kind of like getting back into the swing of it?
It did, actually. I feel like, you know, less people, you know, than like a birthday party in the future. But, you know, I feel like it was my first time really cooking like a meal for people in this kitchen and getting used to it. And, you know, like, also, I mean, I'm very much a person who, you know, like, when I'm cooking, even in like a bigger kitchen, I'm like, people underfoot in the kitchen, I'm like, get the hell out.
Yeah.
My one bedroom here, you know, it's like with so many people around, it's like I couldn't really get people out of the way.
What is it? Why can't people just get out of the kitchen?
They can. You know? They love it. They love it. It's human nature. There's always a traffic jam in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. come in for some ice, for your drink, and you never leave.
They never leave.
If you have a dinner emergency on your hands, write to us at dinnersos@bonappetit.com or leave us a voice message at 212-286-SOS1. That's 212-286-7071. And folks, I can't believe I'm saying this, but we are starting to look for Thanksgiving questions. If you have a Thanksgiving or Friendsgiving dinner SOS, please reach out. We'd love to help you make a stressful day a bit easier. We'll link most of today's recipes in the show notes, but if you're curious for more, check out Maya's cookbook, Indian Flavor Every Day. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating and review on your podcast app of choice and hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. Dinner SOS is a Condé Nast Entertainment original podcast. I'm your host, Chris Morocco. My co-host this week is Maya Kaimal. Our producer is Michelle O'Brien. Peyton Hayes is our associate producer. Cameron Foose is our assistant producer. Jake Loomis is our studio engineer. Amar Lal mixed this episode. Thanks to Gabe Quiroga for engineering help. Next week, Lale is no stranger to travel and new food experiences, but she has to cook dinner for her friends while they're staying in a vacation home. And, well...
one thing I've learned from experience, because we all weigh in and cook on different nights. Mm. But I've learned that every single person has a different dietary requirement or just doesn't like something.
You can go to the Union Square Green Market and all these veg are things that
that's
like...
that's scarier than Brooklyn. I'm kidding.
You'll be fine. We'll walk you through it. Hey, listeners. Chris Morocco here. If you find yourself in a dinner crisis, the Epicurious app comes to the rescue. Not only will you unlock over 50,000 recipes from Bon Appetit and Epicurious, but you'll also receive daily personalized recommendations based on your unique preferences and dietary needs. Head to the Apple App Store and download the Epicurious app to kickstart your 7-day free trial today. Don't miss out on this culinary adventure. Start your free trial and let the Epicurious app be your kitchen hero. Happy cooking.